We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. If you're just tuning in the last segment, we heard Mitchell Trubisky's press conference, and he was talking about getting hurt, what that felt like, having the shoulder put back in, having to wear a harness, how he feels like he's close to 100%. I imagine they wouldn't have let him talk if he wasn't going to play, but there's still three practices before we get to that, and we'll see how he gets through the practices. I want to have a conversation about Mitchell Trubisky that I think is important. And I was reading some of the stuff as I was getting back into the swing of things on Trubisky and the bigger picture stuff. I want to put the bigger picture stuff to the side for a second. Don't worry, I'm going to get back to it. When it comes to him, and the bigger picture stuff is contract extension, is he your franchise quarterback, that sort of thing. I want to talk about what happens over the next 11 games and whether or not it's possible that Mitchell Trubisky is good enough that the Bears can find themselves back in the position that they were in last year in the playoffs. Getting in the playoffs this year in the NFC looks like it's going to be tough. It looks like and things. It's a week-to-week league, but there are already spots that are kind of eaten up right now. If I were handicapping this, I would say that the NFC West is going to get at least two of those spots in the playoffs in the NFC. Because right now, Jimmy Graps and the 49ers are undefeated, and no one's playing quarterback better in the NFL than Russell Wilson. Period. Then you go to the NFC North, where you kind of have this cluster of teams. Was I the only one on Monday? I was watching Lions, Packers. I don't know if either one of those teams is any good. I know that the Packers have the good record. I'm not talking about their record. Their record clearly says they're one of the better teams in the NFC. But just scouting them, I don't know if they're any good. Same thing with the Lions, who kind of have like the flip side of that where their record is kind of Lions-y. And I'm like, oh, there are moments like, oh, they got some, and they're like, ugh. Did you guys have that same feeling watching it?
The biggest thing I've taken away from watching the Packers this year is Za'Darius Smith gets helped off the field more often to then come back in the game and do that even more times than anybody in the NFL.
Okay, so you want one of the stories that I can tell you from watching games with Olin and Lance and Alex and Matt Forte? Okay, so Alex tells a story of getting hurt. I forget if he rolled an ankle or got the wind knocked out of him, but he's laying there on the ground. And so guys are, you know, they're upset. They're taking a knee. And he, like, got up and then walked off. And apparently Olin came up to him and was like, don't you ever make me care about you. You better be real hurt. Like, Olin is amazing. The Olin stories, a lot of them I can't tell, but that's one of them. Don't you have me worrying about you if you're not really hurt? He's so great.
Watching games with Olin is a thing.
Tony, did you have fun with the Olin experience of producing?
I did, because all I had to do, all right, turn the mics on, go. and they did all the football-y stuff that people like.
He's really good at broadcasting. And I thought for sure, if there was one guy that was never going to be a broadcaster, it was Olin Krutz. I was like, oh, Olin doesn't need that. He likes to spar with us. But like, he doesn't need that. And he's really good at it and getting better every day. Like, I'll just say this. Like, Olin's probably not listening. I'm worried at how good he is because it feels like that's a guy that gets snatched and is doing stuff nationally. That's how good he is.
I think he is listening. I think he tweeted at both of us.
Oh, damn it. I shouldn't have said that out loud. But he's that good. He has the potential to be that good that they'll have him sitting on a desk in Bristol or LA or New York explaining offensive line play to the stupid. The stupid being all of us who didn't play offensive line.
But I feel like the Packers and Lions are good. Like, Aaron Rodgers is good, and they've done enough to put them in position to win. The Lions, for me, they've been shown flashes. I think they just have the Lions' luck around them, and they just have been unfortunate, you know, these last couple of games. But they look better. They're better than what their record is, I think.
I looked at Green Bay, and I'm like, there's a lot of weaknesses here. A lot. They should not. We all know that they should not have won the game. And I enjoy all the referee memes and everything else. But I'm stuck. I'm not. I haven't said. I don't think they're bad. I just don't know if they're good.
I like what the Lions are doing in the front seven on defense.
I like a lot of the stuff that the Lions are doing. I like a lot of their components that they have on offense too. Although, man, Matt Stafford gonna Matt Stafford. Whenever you need him to, he gonna Matt Stafford. If it means guys running free and he overshoots them, yeah, that's it. If it means a turnover in the red zone, yeah, he'll give you that too.
I don't know where the ball will end up, but it's the prettiest looking ball going out of his hand.
I agree. He throws the ball the way that you, like, in your head want to see a quarterback throw. He just sometimes doesn't know where it's going.
That's why it's good that he has those two big receivers that have the great catch radius.
Look, man, the Cutler-Stafford comps were real. And they were real because Jay had all that you wanted. You're like, oh, 6'3 dude, 220 pounds. He's a little bit mobile. He's got a cannon for an arm. And then you see stuff like, oh, damn.
Stafford is nice, Jay Cutler.
Stafford's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
And it's empty calories. It's empty calories with that dude, but he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's Jay without the bag-like tendencies.
Sure. But let's get back to QB1 of the Bears now. Mitchell Trubisky. Now, Tony greeted me today with, "What's up, Loho?" as he always does. And he also said, "You need to hear what Dave Ragone, the quarterback coach, said about Trubisky in comparison to Mahomes and Watson." I wanted to add this into the conversation just so that it has a little bit of context. This is what the Bears think about that. This is Dave Ragone.
The hardest thing, just being as long as I have as a player now coach, is you get in the comparison game of how things work or how this guy's doing compared to how this guy. Everybody has their own set of issues, good and bad, right? You can start looking at quarterbacks drafted in the same class or the class below you, or the class after you, and you're like, oh, this guy's here and this guy. And again, and I've been around all different quarterback rooms. I've yet to see that help any quarterback start to get in the comparison game. Well, this guy threw for 4 touchdowns last week. I need to throw for 4. I've never seen that work. The guys that I've been around or I've seen or I've had conversations with who have really had who stayed in this league a long time at a high level, right? There is no comparison to them. All they're trying to do is be the absolute best, right? We had a few years ago a chance to pick Peyton's brain, right? And I've known Peyton for a long time. And, again, I hold him in high regard. You're talking about a guy who goes out and every single play matters, right? Every single game mattered. He played every play, every game like it was the last one he was going to play, right? He wasn't saying, well, so-and-so just threw for 3 touchdowns last week in my draft class. Man, I wonder how he, you know, I got to compare to that. they're competing against themselves. The best I've ever been around here, the standard is to themselves, not how other guys are playing. Now, I get, trust me, I get how that could be a natural comparison to people outside this building. I'm not saying that's not a legitimate guys comparing, how's this guy doing? Look how this guy's playing. At the end of the day, what we need from Mitchell, just like every player, is we need him to execute the game plan, the fundamentals, the way we want them to, at a high level. And once you become consistent in doing that, right, and there is no magic timetable on that, but once you become consistent in doing that, right, then all of a sudden, a lot of the other things kind of take care of themselves in terms of how is this guy doing compared, because it doesn't matter. What matters is you going out and the job that's asked of you, you doing it. Getting into the other parts of it has never been constructive, ever.
So what signs do you see that convince you that the production is coming?
Yeah, I think, well, again, you go off what he's done here. We can all look at the 15 games he played last year, right, with the two that he missed, and say all of a sudden, man, there's games that, man, we want that improvement. But all of a sudden, if you look at the totality of the games, right, in different situations, I think we can all say there's a lot to build on. There's a lot of successful things that happen within situations of different games. And you're saying, okay, arrow is pointing up in that situation. Well, then you get to 2019, and again, right, you have a three-game sample size. So in his last game he played, right, I think, if I'm not mistaken, one of the higher completions in terms of his career. There was a red zone interception, right? I get that. There's also three touchdowns in which one was one of the best plays I've ever seen the kid make. And Taylor Gabriel made one of the best catches I've ever seen live in person. So, again, that was nothing to do with, man, that was a great design. That kid made the play, right, in a situation in which, right, helped us offensively in the first half. So when I look at all the games in which he's played, right, there's things that we can definitely get better at 100%. I'm not sure any player or any coach is ever going to say there's the guy's a finished product. But then you look at this, some of the things he did well, right, two-minute drives, right, the Eagles' two-minute drive playoff game, right, in a critical situation, gets us down. I get it. We didn't end up winning the football game, right? Then you look into 2019. Every year is different. I get it. But when I see this kid, where he's come from to where I think he's going from 2000 when we drafted him for those games in which he played, and then where he is now from a maturity standpoint, from how he handles things to how he handles the game plan coming in each week to how he even took the field yesterday after an injury in which he's been out 2 weeks and we don't know how much longer he is going to be out. All of a sudden, I'm seeing a guy growing up. I'm seeing a maturity. I'm seeing a guy becoming, you know, an older person, 25. He's been in the league when he was 22. You're seeing those things. Again, are they measured in quarterback rating and all that? I don't know, right? Obviously, the end goal is for a high, successful production, and that's everybody's goal.
Is Mitch good at drowning out with what he says?
I think more than anything else, right? I mean, obviously, you guys are – he's with you guys every week. We don't ever talk about what questions were just asked and all. At the end of the day, right, I mean, when he steps in between the white lines, he gets those 60 minutes and maybe some more in overtime, but he gets those 60 minutes to go prove and go play football. And, again, it's not to necessarily – just like how I coach, it's not to prove anybody wrong. It's to prove yourself right, right, that you are ready to execute the game plan. You are ready to coach this week. It's not the other way where you're trying to prove the naysayers wrong. You're trying to prove the people – yourself, more importantly, that you are right. You are doing the right things. So, again, you know, I know I kind of give you guys the same thing, but just I guess I look at it from a wider lens, right? And, again, my lens, if we want to scope and go down and go narrow, his last game, right? That's the last thing I can go off of is the Washington game with six snaps in Minnesota, and he is, in my opinion, pointing in the right direction.
That's a bit myopic, isn't it? Right?
I don't expect him to be 100% honest, if you're asking my opinion.
Tony, you never should, right? Never should with coaches. They're always going to be in the bag for their players. But it seems a little intellectually dishonest to go, well, the only thing that I can look at is the way he played against Washington. Really? Do you think that the Saints are only watching Washington tape? because I don't. I think they're looking at a bunch of different games and trying to figure out how can they scheme against Mitchell Trubisky. They're not just going to stop and be like, man, we are playing against Tom Brady. Did you see what he did in that the second quarter when they scored 21 points? Did you see that? That's who we're playing against. They're going to look for all sorts of stuff. The thing is, and I know that I've been, in some cases, one of Mitch's biggest detractors, I still think that there's enough raw material there that under the right circumstances, let me put every governor I have on this, under the right circumstances, it can work. Where what I think we're learning about Mitch over the last two seasons is if you're asking him to carry a team, that's a bad ask. And you have to ask yourself, do you want to have a quarterback that can't elevate the rest of the team? That almost sometimes needs to be elevated to get where the rest of the team is. And that's what I'm wondering about him going forward. Can he be good enough that occasionally he will elevate? Occasionally, but you can't depend on it. Is that good enough for championship level football? I don't have an answer for it. It's just something I wanted to talk about. We need to take a timeout. When we come back, along with more bear stuff, there's some bulls stuff that we need to discuss. And a fun announcement that I get to make. I got a new teammate over at NBC Sports Chicago. Tell you who it is next here on The Score. It's a really good text in here from the Dave Ragone stuff that we played. 815 texter says he's completely missing the point of why fans compare Mitch to Mahomes and Watson. We're not trying to make Mitch better. That's his job. We're frustrated because of what could have been. And most of us were screaming for Watson on draft night. Yeah. The thing is that for this to be a success, Mitch doesn't have to be league MVP, even though you could make an argument that Watson is one of the leading candidates for league MVP this year. And if you get both of those guys winning league MVP, that would suck. But if he's good enough to help the Bears win a Super Bowl, it may not matter. Can he be good enough? With a first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractors select SupplyHouse.com with next-day delivery speed and total inventory coverage. SupplyHouse.com does it all. Stop wasting your time and money. SupplyHouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house. SupplyHouse.com. There's so much. I'm looking forward to Mitch playing on Sunday. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing him play and seeing what the Saints do. The Saints have been really good with Teddy Bridgewater, but I wouldn't say that Bridgewater has been so good that you're terrified of the Saints coming into Soldier Field. But they've been good enough. But I want to see what he does, how he performs, and one thing that we haven't talked about yet, which we probably should, it's been a minute since Mitch has played a game at home. And considering how Bears fans reacted in the first game of the season against the Packers when the offense didn't look right, there could be issues if early on they don't have success or he makes a bad play worse. And I wonder what that does to a quarterback. How will he respond to it? And I'm looking forward to seeing how and if he responds to some of this. The Bears also have other issues, like their run game being bad and not getting production out of the wide receivers other than Allen Robinson. In fact, Allen Robinson is the only player on the Bears offense that doesn't deserve scrutiny and scorn. Everyone else. Here's a question. Where's Tariq Cohen? Here's another question. Why do I have to keep asking that? Why do I have to keep asking, like, every few weeks, we go, hey, where's Tariq Cohen been?
It's his best move of the year pulling into training camp?
Well, a lot of people at Halas were not very happy about the way that he pulled in and spun around training camp in his slingshot. But it's like, where's Waldo? It's like, oh, yeah. You guys remember when Tariq Cohen was on the team and he was doing like all this cool stuff? Where is that? Anyway, let's talk a little Bulls. I have a small announcement. Actually, it's a big announcement. So, the Bulls, all of their games are going to be on NBC Sports Chicago. You knew that, right? We've been talking about how things are changing in TV, in the sports landscape. The Cubs are going to go with Marquee. The Bulls, White Sox, and Blackhawks all went with NBC Sports Chicago. So outside of games that are nationally televised, all the games are going to be over there. My people over there just made an announcement that they have a new pre- and post-game host, and it is Jason Goff. So congratulations to my man Goff. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful pairing between him and Bulls pre and post, and I know that he knows all the experts, and you talk about a guy that has a really high sports IQ, but his basketball IQ is through the bleeping roof. So to see him be able to host pre and post on NBC Sports Chicago is going to be a treat. Jason's first day will be October 23rd. Tell him to bring donuts. So now, if you want, I'm doing Bear stuff over there, and Jason's doing Bull stuff over there. Sounds about right to me.
We winning out here.
We're trying, Tony. We're out here trying to win. Speaking of Tony, Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tony has done it again, a.k.a. Tone. I've got two really smart basketball guys on my show. Tony and Rick Camp, they're like the last bastion of Bulls fan slash observer. Like, they're in it. These guys are in it when it comes to NBA stuff. What is going on with Zach LaVine bristling at the idea of taking more three-pointers?
Well, I guess Rick can, you know, run off the stats of, you know, his mid-range stuff. But, I mean, I found it kind of, like, weird. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, don't take those contested, you know, fadeaway mid-range jump shots early in the shot clock. The whole narrative around mid-range shots, I think, has been confused a bit. Because people are like, oh, those are just analytics people, you know, like, no, it makes sense not to take those contested mid-range shots early in shot clocks. That should not be the number one priority for a team offensive philosophy.
You should be looking to get the best shot possible. And I agree, if we're talking about the play is broken down or the defense has been really good and you're stuck with a 16-foot jumper as your alternative, there's no problem with taking the mid-range shot. You should be trying to play outside in, where if you can't get the easy dunk or layup, you should be looking to make threes. And it's not as if Zach can't shoot threes. He's a pretty good three-point shooter.
Yeah. That's the thing too. It's like, dude, you're a pretty above average three-point shooter. I don't see why the issue, other than just, you know, being told, hey, you can't take, you know, that's the certain amount of mid-range shots anymore, like being told what to do with his basketball game. But other than that, like, he's been kind of okay with that philosophy just playing.
Yeah, I think it's much more of having people that probably look more like myself, that probably don't have that much basketball background, trying to tell him how to play his game. But when you look at his numbers from his rookie year to now, he's cut the percentage of his shots that are long mid-rangers, so 14 feet to the three-point line, in half, from 30% of his shots down to 15. Most of that benefit's gone to getting to the rim more. Like, he's, in terms of three-pointers, percent of shots that are threes, he's down there pretty low. He's at 25% of his shots, which is like 7th percentile according to Cleaning the Glass. So he needs to probably take more threes, But last year especially, he cut down on the amount of long twos and just got to the rim. So as long as he's doing that, and the thing is, he can't even come back and say, like, Kevin Durant, I know, who was in the conversation on NBA Twitter yesterday, who is, that guy can take a long two whenever he wants because he's Kevin bleeping Durant.
Yeah, I
but like
he Zach didn't Levine, get the he didn't get the point that he's a unicorn. That, yeah. that as a 50-40-90 guy, he's special. He's a 7-footer that can't be guarded.
Which is why a lot of those guys are bad coaches, because they don't realize other people can't just do what they did.
Like right.
Levine, 42nd percentile last year in shooting those long mid on those long twos, 73rd percentile in terms of shooting threes. So he should be targeting more three-pointers. And it's not even just contested. It's sometimes when he just refuses to give the ball back to the screener and be able to take it right back and reset his dribble. That's all he needs to do more often. If it's like 13 sometimes and he gets stopped by a guy, instead of last year when it was Robin Lopez setting that screen and just handing it, giving it back to him to get the ball back to reset his dribble, he would just shoot an off balance to a long two that he had to turn his body towards to get square.
And here's my thing, and I think, Campy, you bring up a really interesting point about the how the information gets to Zach. And I read the Cali piece. I'm not sure how they disseminated the information to him, but maybe that's something that should go through your coach, where you don't want too many people talking to the player. I mean, even here, Mitch doesn't let people talk to the people that are on air. Like, he is a gatekeeper. Anything that needs to be said to me goes through him. Oh, you didn't read this spot right. He gets it, and then he'll tell us in his particular way what he needs and what is wanted. He doesn't want other people coming in and getting out of the message that he wants to give to us. So if this is just going through Boylan, and Boylan says, hey, one of the things that we're going to focus on this year is we want you to take more threes because you're a great three-point shooter, and I think that we're missing an opportunity, then maybe, hey, we ran the numbers and you need to do this more. It all, like, the delivery system of the information matters, because we are Zach's still 24. Like, trying to sift through all of this stuff, and some guys don't want that information. Some guys do. And I think the really, really great ones want as much information as they can get to make them better players. But I don't think no one's trying to take away your mid-range game. It's just you might be able to be even better. Here's what we've learned from what you've done already. Here's what we're trying to get to. This is where the league is going. And I understand that the pushback against it, because some people are overwhelmed by the concept of, well, it's all, I play, I'm not these numbers, but you are those numbers. We're showing you what you're playing at 100% looks like on paper and how to maximize your experience out there on the floor and then make you a better player and us a better team.
And the people that he referenced to in his answer was Kobe and Jordan. Jordan is Jordan.
Unicorns.
Jordan is Jordan. But Kobe is absolutely ruining this generation of basketball players, and he needs to stop. Jason Tatum lost an entire season last year of being the best player he can possibly be, trying to be Kobe Bryant, because he went to that Kobe camp last offseason. Boston had to de-Kobe-tize him for this season so he doesn't take more isolation, fadeaway, mid-range jump shots.
And especially like last 5 years, Kobe. Like, ugh. You know, and I agree with you. I think that's a good point, that all these guys grew up idolizing Kobe and didn't realize that, one, it's hard to do what he did. The game itself was different, and we know more now. So if you know better, you should try to do better.
But every offseason, somebody's pulling up to Kobe's camp, Kobe's gym, and trying to learn from Kobe. Not the intangible stuff.
Right.
the actual, they're trying to, how do you do that fadeaway mid-range jump shot that nobody else is trying to do?
Right. It's not the, well, maybe it is. I don't know. I can't speak to it intelligently, but it needs to be the work that's put in, how you watch film, like that sort of thing. The stuff that made the psychopath that was Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. Take that stuff. The other stuff is going to be difficult for you. Trying to pattern your game after Michael Jordan is a fool's errand because he's the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. I know that you play the same position, or you think you play the same position that Michael Jordan played, but you don't. And the NBA isn't the same as it was when Michael was dominating with mid-range. You know what one of the greatest moments of Michael Jordan's career was? The shrug. When did the shrug happen? After he hit a bunch of threes. All right.
And it's not even that, we're not saying all mid-range shots are bad, because when it comes down to end-of-game scenarios, or especially in the playoffs, good defenses are going to force you into those shots. You need someone that can make those shots when necessary, but it's about determining what necessary means.
Yep, I agree. Joe Maddon's got a new job. You got some decent money, too. We'll talk about that after a quick timeout. I'm Lawrence Holmes. And by the way, the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Hoops. Go see Northwestern. Their new place, the way they rehabbed Welsh Ryan Arena, it's super cozy. Go see them. They got a good schedule. Michigan State, Michigan, Illinois coming in. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. Back after this on The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door. You eat the food and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see the website for details. Joe Maddon signed a 3-year deal to be the manager of the Angels, and it looks like he's going to get a little bit over $4 million a year. Will whomever the Cubs hire even come close to that? I feel like that person's not going to get half. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be a good manager. You can find good managerial talent out there, and maybe, who knows, if you're giving someone their first opportunity and they prove it to you, that's part of the reason that I think the Cubs parted ways with Joe, is they feel like they can find someone to do his job almost as well, and maybe better, for less money. But it's going to be interesting. And as I said, Joe doesn't counsel me. Like, I'm not his counsel when it comes to what jobs he should take. I would have a lot of trepidation about that Angels job. And I get it. It's home for him. When you used to hear him on our show, he used to talk lovingly about Artie Moreno and the Angels. He was with that organization for 31 years. But considering what's going on right now, as they're trying to flesh out who in their organization knows about this opioid thing and what players might be involved, I may have taken that interview in Philadelphia. You can go home. You can be with Beanie. The new sportsbook at Ameristar East Chicago has all the action, real-time odds, and the best prop bets. Plus, with fast 24-hour betting kiosks, there's no more waiting. So grab the crew and come to the new sportsbook at Ameristar East Chicago. You must be 21. To learn more, see the My Choice Center. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. I always wanted to say that. I'll talk with Neil and Parkins next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.